next speaker, who's going to talk to us about thoracic hydatid disease, is Professor Alberto Ferreras, who is a professor of surgery and chairman from the University of Buenos Aires in Argentina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will address the issue of thoracic hydatid disease and its complication. I have no disclosure, but I will mostly refer to cystic disease in the lung, and this is the overview of my presentation. I will show you a video, but this video was taken by the end of the 19th century, and the operation that is there is an operation for a lung hydatid cyst, operation performed by Professor Posadas, who died when he was 32 years old in Paris. After he trained in Paris, he returned back to Argentina. He went to Paris. He died due to lung tuberculosis, pulmonary tuberculosis. And as you can see, they are not using gloves. And this was one of the first video recordings that has been achieved in the history of surgery. And there's the team. The operation was performed in 1899 in the old university hospital of Buenos Aires. The anesthesiologist was a prospective surgeon, Dr. Rocca Tagliata, and you can see the recorder was of French origin, Eugene P. And the interesting fact is that the operation was an hydatid cyst. There were no x-rays at that moment, so imagine. And this paper reflects the experience of what used to be the Institute of Thoracic Surgery in Buenos Aires. The gentleman to the left is Professor Tayana, who was involved in the management of Eva Perón's terminal disease. So this is a little bit about the theology of the hydatid term and some historical issues regarding, for example, in 1889, the marsupialization, and in 1998, Posadas described his operation with capitonage of the lung cyst. As I mentioned, I will refer strictly to the cystic hydatid disease, which is produced by Echinococcus granulosus. Dr. Hurtado has made a great job in her lecture, so I will not refer, I will avoid. An important thing is that one of the endemic areas in Argentina is Patagonia, and one way of transmission is for the larvae is through the wind, and Patagonia is a specifically very windy area, so we have to take care about these issues. As she mentioned, the pericyst, the endocyst, and the inner layer, and this is important from a surgical point of view, specifically when we are approaching these lesions in the lung. Some facts. In children, the lung is one of the most common sites. 20% and 40% of patients with thoracic disease have liver cyst. 30% are multiple, 20% bilateral, and 60% are located in lower lobes. This is regarding the geographical distribution in Argentina. We have six mainly areas, being the most important and more prevalent, Patagonia. This used to be very frequent many years ago. Now most of the surgery is performed locally, not many times in rural settings, and we are only refer complications, postoperative complications we are going to see. Let's move then to the thoracic involvement. This is a clinical case. This is a female coming from Patagonia, where she lived until she was 10 years ago. She had relatives with tuberculosis. She presents to the consultation, to the initial consultation with thoracic cuff. She gets prescribed with antibiotics, but still complains of fever, night sweating, hemoptysis, which motivates the referral. This is the blood determinations. As you can see, the ARC-5 test is positive, and some eosinophilia. This is her chest x-ray, front and peripheral. And as you can see, what's in that image is what is defined as the water hyacinth sign when there is it's partially evacuated and it gets air into the cavity, so the membranes are floating, as you can see. This is another example of another patient, so you can see it's very typical. So as a screening method and a diagnostic method, the simple chest x-ray is really very useful. Another example, and we return to our case presentation. This is the CT scan. there was a sputum direct study of the Vomica, where you could see the granulosus hooklex, which were present, not to be seen, no gram bacteria. And the question formulated to the audience is if we need further studies. And the answer is yes, you need to assess the liver, just to discard, remember the incidence of liver lesions in lung compromise and serology. I will not deepen in the serology that which has been addressed before by the previous speakers, as well as with albendazole, a little bit controversial mostly regarding the duration of the pre-operative treatment and specifically of the post-operative treatment. And coming to operation, the operation is indicated for every thoracic that exists, a little bit different to the liver. So the operation in this case, since it was a complicated thoracic that exists, was an inferior pulmonary lobectomy. And these are some images of the specimen. But there are other thoracic localizations that we must take into account. It's not infrequent to have a liver location which in its evolution goes upwards to the thorax, and you can see here are some more images. Pericardiac involvement, relatively infrequent, and you see the vesicles, the daughter vesicles, and here is the operation by open means, since it was complicated, specifically taking into account to prevent dissemination of the spillage of the vesicles. Here, this is an example, rare example, about edatic disease of the spine, paravertebral location, of the rib cage. All these cases have been facilitated by my division team in thoracic surgery. I'm the department chair. And some of the differential diagnoses that you must bear in mind with the rib location. This is a case of a patient, a lady, with pulmonary, renal, and liver involvement, which the approach was really very tough and difficult. And let's move to surgery for the lung cystic disease. The goal should be the complete excision of the disease process, but or plus the maximum preservation of lung tissue. So those are some of the situations where surgery should be approached in an urgent basis. And we have conservative, as well as in, has been said by Dr. Ndulu in, regarding the liver, we have conservative and radical procedures. In the first four, the adventitial layer is preserved, and in this last, the pericystectomy, there is a capsule resection. So the radical procedures are the following, and when we choose a lobectomy, well, in those four situations, and especially when you are addressing sequelae like pulmonary fibrosis, bronchiectasis, or hemorrhage. Some of the principles regarding the surgical approach have to do with the prevention of spillage to the bronchi to prevent dissemination, the injection of the scolicide agents, and the preservation of the pulmonary parenchyma. I will not refer again to the use of the scolicide agents. It has been referred by my colleagues. The ways of access, well, you have the posterior lateral thoracotomy or the vertical thoracotomy. We prefer the posterior lateral approach. Sternotomy in case of bilateral disease. The addition of a laparotomy or frenotomy if we need to approach a lesion that is ascending from the liver to the lung, and the use of video thoracoscopy, which is very useful, but with some precautions due to the fear of dissemination or spillage. The intraoperative managements, there are 5 points to regard regarding those issues, regarding the edatic delivery, it's opening the adventitial layer, and beware of the insufflation because the increase in the pressure can provoke the fracture, rupture, and posterior dissemination. Some pictures. Puncture aspiration, we tend to use an aspirator which was designed by an Argentinian surgeon called the Finocchietto aspirator. This is a maneuver which we should be very careful, and you have to take care of the membranes while the assistant has isolated the operative field. Here you can see the type of aspirator, which is it's a 10 centimeters cannula. The treatment of the adventitial layer imposes regarding different approaches regarding if the resection is more than 80% or less, and also, as it has been shown in the video regarding liver surgery, the careful hemostasia is mandatory. Beware about the management of the bronchi, specifically test for to prevent any fistula or air leak. And regarding the residual cavity, you can closure it by capitonage to occlude or leave it open with the drainage. One of the issues is the morbidity related to the drainage because it has to stay for many days postoperatively. Some of the complications, it has to do with the evolution, I'm not going to refer to them, but the two most important intraoperative complications are the cyst rupture and the bleeding. Regarding the postoperative complications, we can distinct the immediate and the delay. We're going to see some of the pictures. As you can see in the next slide, the spillage of the content, which is a dramatic situation. Pleural seeding, as you can see by the CT scan, and here also another case, or bronchogenic seeding, and these situations age really with a high impact in the well-being of the patient. The residual cavity is not uncommon, and many times requests additional procedures in order to relieve symptoms and symptomatology. In conclusion, the diagnosis is based on the background, the epidemiology, the chest X-ray. I will not deepen about serology. You have ARC-5 test, ELISA, and Western blot. For cystic pulmonary hidatid echinococcosis, surgery is always the primary choice with the albendazole in the pre and post stages. The importance of prevention should be the goal to prevent the cestode infestation. And also, I believe there is room for a rational immunotherapy studies and more research in order to develop a future vaccine development. With all this, I'm done, and thank you so much for your attention.